Good morning, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Welcome. You're listening to Get Active on Z100, New York's hit music station. I'm your host, Kevin Burke. Each Sunday morning at this time, Get Active profiles a not-for-profit or charity making a difference in your community. Our topic this week, Stepping Out Radio, and with us we have Denise. Good morning, Denise.
Kevin, hi. How are you?
So, Denise, what does Stepping Out Radio do?
Well, Stepping Out Radio is, in the simplest words I can give, is true stories of people who have overcome and triumphed over adversity, mostly from addiction and substance abuse of any kind, and that have come out on the other side and recovered. So where the stories, are difficult at first, they're always hopeful because people are in recovery. So it's just a great show to, be involved in because the message is hope.
So Stepping Out Radio is like a radio show that's on an iPod. Anybody can get it from their phone. And it's basically like going to a 12-step meeting. It's like group therapy, right?
It's kind of like a 12-step meeting. So yes, I would say it's like a 12-step meeting, part of a 12-step meeting, because what a part of a 12-step meeting is, a big part, is the person's story, how their problem started, how it progressed, what took them to take action, and what their life is like now. And people share with us the most intimate, incredible stories. They don't hold back, but the beauty of it is they are willing to share it. We have men and athletes like Daryl Strawberry come on and tell their stories and share, how they felt vulnerable, or their dad, always told him every day that he wasn't good enough. And so you get a peek into how addiction might happen, but then you also get a peek and where you can go to get help for it.
So I know you're basically like listening in. You're like at the meeting of a person's the best and the worst times in their lives. It's how this addiction destroyed their lives, but then they found the 12 steps and it basically led them to recovery and they turned their life around. Now, I know your show, Stepping Out Radio, has been written up in the New York Times, the New York Post, Inside Radio, Talkers Magazine. Michael Harrison said this show is well-respected within the industry because, like you said, Denise, you're getting both entertainment. It's like, wow, this person's life was destroyed, but also information on how you can help your own life. Isn't that right?
Yes, and we were a reality radio show before there was reality radio or reality TV because it's a voyeuristic peek into someone's life. I get more emails actually from people not in recovery saying, wow, I never heard anything so real, so raw, so honest, so inspiring, so uplifting. And you know what? I thought I had problems. So if these people can do it, I can do it. And it's just a support group. It's a fellowship. People are rooting for each other. And many people have the misconception that 12-step meetings are a cult or all about religion or all about having to do the 12 steps, which is like the 10 commandments, 12 more rules. And it's not like that at all. So if you go to 12stepmeeting.com or steppingoutradio.com and they point to the same place, you can hear the stories for yourself. We've had celebrities, from Joe Pantoliano from The Sopranos. We've had rock stars like Greg Allman, sports stars like Daryl Strawberry. The list just goes on and on. We've had CEOs, politicians. This is something that affects all of us. And in addition to all of them, we also do support groups on the air and 12-step meetings, if you will, for the friends and families of people that are struggling with issues that don't know where to go or where to turn. So you also get to hear what they can do, because often, especially with the opioid addiction across not even the country, across the world, parents, siblings, husbands, wives, they're paralyzed. They don't know what to do. And if you, go on 12stepmeeting.com, you'll hear the stories from these families. And it gives you hope and inspiration and some ways on how to help your loved one.
And as a matter of full disclosure, I have to tell people that I actually was a fill-in host for you on your show.
And you were great. Thank you.
And I was a bartender for 10 years, and I've got my own great stories about people out of control with alcohol. But I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked at the stories that I would hear on this show. And I'm looking across at somebody, and it's the same story. Their life was destroyed by this addiction, And it's they have that 1,000-yard stare, like they looked at death. A lot of these people were in so much pain, they wanted to die. And somehow they found the 12-step program, they got into recovery, and they turned their life around. You had stories about, like, pilots who were flying with 200 people in the back of the plane. They just passed out from alcohol.
You and know, I've gotten emails from other pilots saying, I'm glad I listened to Ray, who was a pilot's story, because I realized I was doing the same thing, and I could have killed a plane load of people, and I went and got help.
And I'm like, is that when you realized I had a problem? Oh, no, not at all. No, no. Right. You've had doctors who were doing surgery mm-hmm. who were high on their own stuff. They made their own cocktail with pills. You've had gamblers. And I'm like, well, how much did you have bet on the game on Sunday? 4 years' salary. So I'm like, wow, you're in the game, right? Whether or not the guy catches the ball is really important to you, right? You've had girls who, you know, knowingly went to a crack house knowing they're going to get raped, but they wanted another hit. They wanted another hit. I'm like, my God. And I would hear this pain, and you could hear it in their voice. And you have a lot of these shows, a lot of these stories on your website. But it's you also, like you say, you also give inspiration about what was it that turned a person's life around, how that happened. And it's really amazing. So give out your website again.
It's steppingoutradio.com, or if it's easier to remember, 12stepmeeting.com. And I also want to say, Kevin, because when you did all these shows, these people's stories, very often, there's such a misconception about people who have substance abuse issues of any kind that they're men or women homeless under a bridge with, you know, the saddest of the sad stories. And it's not true. We have, like we were just saying, CEOs, lawyers, doctors, housewives, firemen, cops. So that whole stigma surrounding, oh, well, those are those people. Well, America, those people are all of us and our family and friends. And, you know, finally now, after doing the show for so many years, it's finally coming, unfortunately, where the opiate addiction had to get so bad that people are standing up and taking notice. But it is not, you know, to stigmatize these people that they're under a bridge. Not that we should stigmatize them either, but they're not. They're going to work. They're running companies. They're Eminem who are running, you know, concerts. It really touches everybody.
I specifically remember doing a show in which we had a billionaire, a founder of a Fortune 500 company, and on the same show was a homeless person. You know?
Yes.
And they're both telling the same story. You know, it's like your life was destroyed. And yet I don't know, whatever it was, they hit bottom or whatever it is, they got into recovery and it changed their life and it's so much better. But on your website, you have interviews with people like Barbara Eden, I Dream a Genie, who lost her son to an overdose. And she said she didn't even know he was doing drugs.
She had no idea.
Russell Simmons from Def Jam, Danny Trejo from The Heat, Con Air, Breaking Bad. You had Daryl Strawberry. It just goes on and on and on. There's so many different people. But also, Denise, this is like a non-for-profit. I mean, this is, you know, it costs money for you, and you basically need help. You have a fundraiser coming up. Tell us about
that. Yes, we do. It was often hard to monetize the show, so we formed a nonprofit because, to be honest, the stigma of addiction sometimes would keep people away. Again, it's changing, thank God. But we formed a nonprofit, and we have a great board and a very active board of people. Let me give the website real quick. Steppingoutradio.com.
Check out the website because the stories are fantastic. But I want to bring somebody else in, and that's Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning to you.
So Cheryl, you have 25 years' experience in addiction. You're a social worker, psychotherapist. You've written a book called Sober University. And you get referrals from, like, the courts, people who have a drug problem, and they've been mandated. You must go into treatment, and they basically get referred to you. So have you found that the 12-step program works for people?
Absolutely. The 12-step program is a beautiful philosophy that can enrich your life and can put order where there was chaos, and hope and success. And it really energizes your life and organizes your life. And you can see the progress just by following those steps. It's not something that you do like a recipe where you go from 1 to 12. It's you go from 1 to 12, but you go back and forth. And it's more like a spiral.
Now, I got to tell you, sometimes it's really hard. People who are in pain, they're, you know, the addiction has taken over their life. They're in denial. Like, I don't have a problem. I have it under control.
Yes.
They won't go to a meeting, right? I mean, so the idea is to have a meeting on their phone is really helpful, right?
I think that Steppin' Out Radio is such a cutting-edge, phenomenal thing to have. The fact that you could just go to an app, download the app, put it on your phone. So many people who have addictions suffer from shame. And until they can overcome that feeling of shame, they can just go on the app. They can just listen in and take whatever they need. So I think that that in itself is a wonderful step for somebody to take. Coming to therapy is another wonderful step to take because you're in a safe, confidential environment where you can really, really spill your guts. You can share the darkest parts of yourself. And you have somebody who really wants to help you get through the struggles because addiction is a struggle. It involves brain addiction. It involves your brain. It involves healing your brain.
You know, when you're going through addiction, you got a lot of people around you telling you your life is screwed up. I mean, your wife, your husband,
yes.
your kids, your boss, your neighbors, your friends. And you're like, no way. I got it under control.
Of course.
You know, I can handle it. In fact, it helps me, improves me.
Yes.
I can perform better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, addiction's a real problem. I mean, we have stats from the Addiction Center. It says each day 100 people in America die from an overdose. In 2011 alone, you had 5 million people go to the emergency room just from addiction. You had over 9.5 million people admit they were driving a car under the influence. In New York State alone, the Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse says 23 million people said that they had a drug and alcohol problem just in New York. So, I mean, addiction's a real problem, but, you know, there's all types of addictions. It's not just alcohol or drugs or gambling. I mean, there's things like debt, shopping, spending, right? Meth, coke. You got, you know, heroin. You got prescription pills. Sex. Sex is addiction. We've done shows on sex. Masturbation. Porn. Internet porn. You have veterans who come back with all kinds of post-traumatic stress, and they get addicted, and their lives get destroyed. They survive combat, but their addiction destroys their lives. And they're smoking, right? I mean, even a 12-step program could help people with smoking, right?
Absolutely. But people can have more than one addiction at a time. They can have substance addictions, and they can have behavioral addictions. And they can have more than one substance at a time. So you might find somebody who would be using cocaine, and they'll be smoking pot at the same time. Or they're going to go to the bar, and they're going to kick back some shots, and then they're going to mellow out even more with marijuana. So there are many different combinations of addictions.
So people listening to the show go, hey, you know, I like sex. You know, I like to look at porn. What's the difference between, you know, I just like it and it's an addiction? How would you tell you, like, how would you know you have an addiction?
Well, I think that it really goes to the conversation that one would have in the office with a therapist who's
just between you and me, nobody else.
Well, yeah, because you would really need to get to the root of why somebody is actually doing what they're doing. And it would not be fair for me to give you one general rule, except to say that people are looking for escapes. People are looking for relief from pain. And people may use porn to avoid genuine intimacy.
So there's no magic bullet, right? There's no, you know, one cure for everybody.
Absolutely not.
And in fact, there was another study that said like 75% of all treatment centers use the 12-step program as one part of an overall treatment plan to cure people. So the 12-step program is very important, and it's just part of the overall treatment. But really what goes on, and this I think is really what connects all of it, is it's a high. You have a chemical reaction in the brain, dopamine, like the pleasure drug.
That's it.
It's a hormone. And I need to put 4 years' salary on that bet in order to get that chemical reaction. 1 year just won't do it.
So, well, that's really called tolerance. And so what worked in the beginning no longer works, no longer gives you that initial high. So you raise the ante. So one beer might have worked, and now you're up to six. Of course, not in one sitting, but over a period of time. And it would be the same for gambling, or it could be the same for sex or shopping, debt,
so a
food.
So a person comes home and tells the wife, spent the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol, drugs, gambling, whatever. Life's being ruined. Boss says, can't show up to work high. You know, I know. Your life is being destroyed. You know, we've done shows where guys have said that they were out on a date with a beautiful woman, and all they could think about when they took a drink at dinner, I got to dump this girl and go to the bar. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just consumes your life.
Well, I think what happens is it consumes your thought process, and your thought process literally becomes warped. It's a distorted thought process, and in AA, that's called stinking thinking. So that your brain chemistry needs to be changed. And one of the most remarkable parts of recovery beyond the 12 steps is the utilization of meditation and quieting the mind and doing what is called healing the brain through something that technically is neuroplasticity. It's recognizing that the brain is like a soft clay that can be reshaped, and we can grow the brain in calmer ways. I have a chapter in my book called Do Tibetan Monks Have ADD? And the reason that's the title is because monks don't have ADD because they meditate.
I know that Russell Simmons also meditates. He finds it very, very helpful. But I got to tell you, what you're talking about is really the root of recovery. It's like you have to deal with the underlying problem, why you started the addiction and the problem. But before you can even get there, before you can get to the meditation and whatever else you're going to do, and everybody's got a unique plan, there's no magic bullet, you first have to admit you got a problem. And that's where the 12 steps come in, right?
Well, yes, you have to come out of denial, which is the most tenacious of all defense mechanisms.
And again, people don't want to go to a meeting. You know, the wife says, let's go to a meeting. Yeah, we've done shows where friends have said, come with me to a meeting. It's for me. It's really for them, you know?
Well, I think that's where this app that anybody can download from their phone for Steppin' Out Radio, it's a free app. There's no reason not to have it. Nobody has to know that you're listening to it.
Right. Now, Cheryl, you have a website and a book. Give out your website and your book information.
My book is called Sober University, Your Next Step to Successful Recovery, which is also the name of my private psychotherapy practice. And my website is soberuniversity.com. And my email address is info@soberuniversity.com.
And Denise, give out your website again, too.
Okay, you could go to steppingoutradio.com or 12stepmeeting.com. And again, it points to the same place. And I just want to say real quick, you can get the mobile app on our website, and it's free. And it will show you where you can go to download it for the iPhone or the Android.
And I know there's 12-step meetings all over the place. You know, and people like to keep it like secret and anonymous. But again, getting to that first meeting is really key. And again, I want to bring somebody in who's actually.
But before we bring Ronnie in, it's not just to get the people in there, just so you know. It's also for people that are currently in recovery, and they might have even been there for 10 years. But it's 12 midnight and they feel like they're slipping and there's no meeting around. So they jump on and maybe they hear Brian's story and they say, oh, my gosh, I'm connecting with Brian, so I don't need to go out there again and drink.
So the app is great, and if you are in a program and you can't get to a meeting, it's on your phone.
Exactly.
But I want to bring Ronnie in. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning. How are you doing, Bob?
Now, Ronnie, you're a recording artist and a promoter, and you work with the 12-step program. Tell us about your addiction.
Well, insanity, loneliness, despair, desperation, frustration, and everything vile that I can think of that I never dreamed in my life I would end up becoming and living. I never thought that I would be the type of child who had aspirations and potential in so many different areas of my life, and so many people who helped me and believed that I could do and achieve just about anything that I would put before me, whether if I entertain the fact of becoming a lawyer, a doctor, things that as a child my parents saw in me and godmother and family members, and I had the abilities to do.
I mean, you have a really good life. I mean, you're a recording artist, you're a promoter, you deal with some very big people, you're doing something at the United Nations later. But you're one of 11 kids, and you saw your father killed, and that must have led to your substance abuse. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that was the beginning of a hidden pain that I didn't want to tell anybody. I recall going back to school after my father's burial, and my teacher asked me, how did your father die? And I said he had a heart attack, because I was too ashamed to tell him that my father died in the streets of Coney Island, New York. I couldn't bear the fact of saying that. And so that process of lying to hide pain became automatic because of the pain that I was in. And I believe later on, when I did finally started to experiment with alcohol first, it was a result of not really ever dealing with that. I don't think that I ever really articulated that in a proper setting. I remember going up in a room one day and just trying to hurt myself just by crying, because I felt alone and I felt that the only man in my life that would give me proper direction and instructions was no longer there.
Right, sure.
So I believe that was the beginning of a dark place for me.
So what kind of substances did you get addicted to?
Crack cocaine, alcohol, and cocaine itself. You know, early on after high school, I was doing pretty well. Again, you mentioned as I am in the music industry, and I was working. I wasn't at that point in time, up to about 18 years of age, not fully engaged as a full alcoholic. I was drinking. Then I started working down on Wall Street, and then I became almost more actively alcoholic then. And before I know it, I was gone, and then was using cocaine. Then I got introduced to crack cocaine. At that time, it was called freebasing.
And then this just took over your life.
It was over.
Consumed all your time, all your money. You're losing your health. You're losing your job. Your friends are talking to you. You got a problem. You have to stop, and then they're gone. You're basically alone. And a lot of people are in so much pain, they want to kill themselves. We've had people on the show tell us that they just want to die. They attempted to die. How did you get into recovery? How did you get to a 12-step program?
Cheryl mentioned something very interesting. After I went a lot of years where, again, I couldn't show up anymore. I couldn't work. I was now smoking crack. I couldn't be around people in the music industry. I couldn't be around productive people because I couldn't show up. I was nothing there to present. So the streets became my life, so to speak, then. So I went from heaven to hell, so to speak. And I got arrested steering, directing an undercover officer for a buy. They gave me a five-year probation thing. I think about maybe not even 6 or 7 months after that, I got arrested again for steering the same thing. I picked up a second felony. And unbeknownst to me, while all this is going on, because my addiction is so big and I'm so gone, that I just ruined my life from the first one. That I could never successfully, you know, get a job or do anything else that would be productive in terms of my name, because now I'm a registered felon.
How did you eventually get into a 12-step program?
As a result of me being incarcerated, I got called to court one day unexpectedly. They had offered me, I think, 3 to 6 years, something like that, and I got called to a courtroom, and I was just there, didn't have a court date. It was the DA. It was a gentleman from TAS, Treatment Alternative Support Court System. It was the TAS system, as Cheryl would know then, for alternative to incarceration. And the judge looked at me, and he's still on the bench today, and said, I don't think I was talking to the district attorney, and I looked at your past, and you don't seem to me to have be a problem person as a violent person or anyone that really has a problem to be a drug dealer or anything like that. I think you have a problem. and I'm willing to do something for you that I've never done since my history of sitting on the bench. I'm willing to offer you a drug or a treatment alternative program, which will be mandated, Daytop Village, which I completed after 36 months. He said, but if you leave the program, not only will I give you what you deserve, I'm going to throw the book at you if you disrespect me.
Did you also work with Steppin' Out Radio?
That's been the joy of the best part of my sobriety story. I then, after graduating from Daytop, was an active member of AA, and I was invited to speak on Denise's show. And from the moment I spoke and met Denise, there was a connection where she saw something in me that a lot of people didn't see. She gave me the opportunity to reclaim myself in the working world, as well as work with the station and be sober at the same time. Something that I couldn't, I had went to court and asked the judge, would he seal my record? And after graduating from Daytop Village, and at that point he told me no, which I was crushed. But I was hurt now because I couldn't really function with that stigma of having those that record on me. But Denise saw something in me. And 16 years later, she's allowed me to prove who I am as the Ronnie Goodman that I always was.
That's fantastic. And you're a recording promoter as well?
Yes.
You have a website? Or?
Yes, well, I'm working with Empowerment Production. I do everything right along with Denise and in respect of that in the show. I do my own, separate agencies as well. And I just want to also add that there was someone else like Denise who also helped me tremendously, and that's Princess Saul Basma of Saudi Arabia from Global United Lanterns, who, like Denise, saw my potential and helped me to redeem my dignity.
That's fantastic. We're going to have to end the show. We only have a couple of minutes. So, Denise, it looks like your radio show really turns life around for a lot of people.
Well, Ronnie's being a little bit humble because he's saying I helped him, but he helped me. I couldn't believe there was somebody that was so giving. Ronnie never stopped believing in the show, helping me to this day. He still helps me. He's never asked for anything in return. And I'm going to give you, is it all right to give your email out?
Sure.
Because he does the best promotions, publicity, call him. Ronnie Never Quit. And that's what attracted me to him at AOL.com. And yeah, no, I get so many emails and I wish I could share them with you all because that's what keeps me doing the show, from people thanking us for the show for saving their lives.
So I know, give out the website if people want to listen to the show.
StepinOutRadio.com or 12stepmeeting.com. You can hear all the stories on there or download the free mobile app.
That's fantastic. And again, you've got all kinds of celebrity interviews with the best and worst times in their lives. And I tell you, it's amazing stories, shocking stories about how an addiction destroyed their lives, and yet they had hope and inspiration and recovery. It's fantastic. Denise, Cheryl, Ronnie, thanks for a terrific show.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Get Active. This is Kevin signing off until the same time next week. Take care.